welcome to Pints and Pairings. I'm Curtis Taylor, also known as Hot Fez Ed.
And I'm Jason Hendrick, the hungry man from Everybody's Hungry.
This episode, as with all of our episodes, from here on out, forever, until they get really, really tired of me walking in.
Until Sammy pulls the plug.
until the floor the carpet gets pulled out from underneath me, is brought to you by The Beer Cave. You can find The Beer Cave at 231 Village Commons Boulevard. That is in Camarillo, California. And when you walk in, it's one of these, you know, quickie mart kind of convenience stores. But in the back, that's where The Beer Cave is. And when you walk in, there's got to be, I don't know, a million bottles of beer. What do you think? Maybe?
Pretty close.
999,000. Which is,
it shows Sammy's focus and passion for specialty beer.
Right. So everything from imports, fantastic imports, of course, American craft beer all over. That's the heavy, heavy focus, certainly. And then if you're one of those other drinkers in the front, before you walk into the cooler, you can get your Bud and your Coors there too. So it really, he is an equal opportunity provider.
We like to consider that front section the fish and beef marinade section for summertime cooking. All the great stuff's in the back, and Sammy and Mo will take good care of you when you walk in.
That's right. It's what most people consider the Midwest, call it the flyover. Exactly. Oh yeah, I fly over that all the time. Where are you from? South Dakota. Oh, I've never been there, but I've flown over it. This is the same thing. This exactly. is my flyover. I just breeze right on by and right into the cooler. Hey, the other thing is they've got cave coats too. So sometimes I go in there and I spend maybe a little too much time because I can't figure out what it is I want
to. And we
do.
Know how you like to be warm.
Right. So I put on a cave coat and I walk in. Those are complimentary, by the way. You don't have to pay for using the cave coats.
But you got to leave it when you go.
That's right. So we are we're celebrating the holidays not too early. I mean, as we're broadcasting, we're 8 days away from Thanksgiving.
8 days.
So, but it's not too early to start drinking holiday beers. They've started showing up all over the place.
I mean, if certain big box stores can play Christmas music and put up their Christmas trees and lights, we can drink holiday beers.
That is the best point I have heard all morning right there. That has given us the okay to...
We have full license now.
Right, to drink a holiday beer. Do you have a favorite one?
Not just yet. I mean, there's just so many out there, and I think because people are responding really well lately to the holiday beers and these spiced infusions and really diversified brews... I haven't tried enough to say I have a favorite. You know, we just came out of your favorite season, pumpkin season. So people are still kind of filtering and cleansing their palate from that endeavor.
Right.
So, you know, the spice is coming up straight behind it.
Which is funny, I guess, when I think about it, because now is really the pumpkin season. I mean, yeah, we cut jack-o'-lanterns, but for some reason, people try to get their pumpkin beers out before Thanksgiving or before Halloween. I mean, just because we're thinking jack-o'-lanterns, I guess. But really, this is when we start eating the pumpkins. It's this time of year.
This is when they're most ripe and in season.
So I know that I've got a total double standard, whatever it is, but whereas I don't like spiced beers generally.
And I'm looking through some of the lists of other people's top holiday or winter style beers. And I know the Sierra Nevada Celebration is a big one that people look forward to every year. The release is coming out. So that's, you know, high on a lot of individuals' lists. But
we should caution people, though, if you haven't had the Celebration, it is a highly hopped beer. And it's a celebration of the hop harvest. And so there is a ton of fresh. It's not there's some spices in it, too. But it is certainly on the hoppier, more aggressive side of holiday
beers. And the other big one that just came out is the brewery release. They've got their Black Tuesday that was released recently, but then they also have just a really diversified kind of spice or infusion focus with their whole line. Mm-hmm. The Calling All Birds, you know, that's another great, well sought after style of beer for a lot of people.
And I'm thinking of just a couple other ones.
Four calling birds.
Four calling birds.
So I want to call all the birds.
Right. So you've got in the Sam Adams Winter Pack now, there's Old Fezziwig, and then they also have the Holiday Porter.
Fezziwig's a good one.
I really like the Fezziwig. my only drawback on those is that I have to buy a whole 12 pack, and there's only about four beers in there that I really
just
want.
Just share it.
I know, but and then the Boston Lager sits in my beer closet for a year before I finally run out of beer, and then I have to drink it. Or Full Sail's Wassail. That's one of my favorite ones, and that's out too right now.
I don't
think
I've had that one before.
So this one, go and then just for my own shameless plug here, go to hopheadsaid.com and do up in the search bar, type in Tipsy Turkey, because what I do is for 2 days before Thanksgiving I make a beer brine and I use the Wassail in it. It's just a fantastic way to brine your beer.
Oh, I see it right here. That's a looks like a couple of people online agree with you.
Nice. So that would be those are some really great beers. I've got a holiday porter in my fridge from last year from the Sam Adams, and I had a Fezziwig in my from last year, and I drank those two last week. They were fantastic. So if you take good care of it, those beers
it'll
will
take
last,
good care of you.
Those will last a year. So back to my earlier point too is that I don't generally like spiced beers, except for when it's the holiday beers. And for some reason, I really dig that. I don't want pumpkin. I don't want pumpkin spice beer. But when it comes to holiday, a beer to go with pumpkin pie, I'm fine with putting it. And I fully acknowledge my double standard of beers and when I do and I don't like it. But this is the season that I like the spiced beers.
I think part of the reason that works is because for me, most of the winter beers and the spice beers are very well balanced. Unfortunately, I think many of the pumpkin beers that end up on the market are heavily skewed towards the pumpkin pie flavors. And the amount of spice that's really injected into the brew process is too much trying to get people that pumpkin pie in a glass. Whereas the winter beers are very well balanced. The spice also lends to the malty beer backbone, or even sometimes an ale, like a crisp, refreshing ale backbone that you recognize and you realize it's a beer, it's not a dessert in a glass.
There you go.
It may elicit experiences or feelings of a dessert, but you still recognize it's a beer.
Jason, that is the second genius thing you have come up with this morning. It is the best. It's time to start drinking holiday beers.
Let's pour this glass.
And the reason we don't like pumpkin beers is because they're way overly spiced, and that's crazy. So we're going to enjoy Alesmith Brewing Company's. They have a beer called Yule Smith. Put it right up here. And this is their holiday beer. It's
don't get it too close. It looks like there might be a little of a...
There's some condensation on
no,
this.
No, well, it might have a little bit of that.
Mistletoe.
Yeah,
that's. I don't think we have to worry about that.
Does it count if it's on the label versus being a real thing?
I sure hope so, because I don't know if I want anything to do, with mistletoe and you. Not this morning. I mean, you have had some pretty good ideas.
I brushed my teeth,
but we're not gonna go quite that far. So Yule Smith or Alesmith Brewing Company, San Diego. I'm pretty positive. A lot of great beers. In fact, well, look at this. The other beer that we'll be drinking is another Alesmith, their barley wine, Old Numbskull. But I took this out.
I think what you're doing, too, before we get too focused, I think you're leading in the direction that I'm seeing. Warm this beer up a little bit. Don't serve this beer too overly cold, because you will numb not only your palate, but you'll hide and mask a lot of the good spice on the palate by having this being too crisp and cold from the refrigerator.
Well, and the other thing too is these were sitting in my my beer fridge, which sits at pretty cold. We're talking like around 38 degrees. So whenever I always have to warm it, or I always have to cup the glass here. But then I take these out beforehand when we're doing the show. And I put them in the kegerator, which sits at about 45 degrees. So then that brings it up. But then I also brought them out here, and they've been sitting out here for another 45 minutes. So this beer is warmed up to what I think is almost the optimal temperature for this.
And right away, aroma-wise, you get a great hop forward.
I know. I may have mentioned in this one or in the pre-show that I've never had this beer before. And so I was not expecting this giant hop aroma,
which I think is perfect though. Again, when we're talking about the balance of spice and winter influence, holiday influence, even with the winter ones versus pumpkin, you can get an overbearing attention to the spice and the detail. Mm-hmm. The simple ingredient of great pioneer resiny hops lends to that time period in the season in general. Who doesn't think of an awesome forest floor or a winter forest when you get a powerful smack of piney, resiny hops in your nose?
Perfect. This is, I'm just turning the show over to you. Because, yeah, this is all pine.
I had a good breakfast today, so I'm firing on all cylinders.
It is. It's like, it's pine. It's a Christmas tree in your house. It is everything that is wonderful about having greenery, you know, fresh cut greens in your house at the same, you know. The other thing, the malt, if you dig deep underneath that, underneath the hop aroma, there is a really nice spicy malt flavor, and it reminiscent of a barley wine. So if you're nosing a barley wine, you kind of know what I'm talking about. You can smell the alcohol, you can kind of sense it already before you. It's helping to balance the hop aroma.
Most definitely. Well. And on the palate, the little bit of kind of nutmeg and I don't want to say bark, but that woodsy undertone shines through nicely as well. So it really speaks to, like I said, for me, a winter forest, and lives up to the bill.
Yeah, I think you're onto something there too with talking about winter forest bark or nutmeg. Sorry, I had a whole bunch of things floating through my head at one time. The bark is a really descriptive. Not that I've ever eaten bark, but you can kind of, you know what it smells like. And exactly. So you have an idea of what it would taste like. And you know, especially out here, there's bark everywhere, you know, falling off eucalyptus trees, whatever it is. And so there's even just a tiny bit of that hiding underneath as well. In the aroma, the flavor, it's just this real nice herbal, I don't know. Complexity.
Well, and I think a lot of breweries are catching on to the balance of nuances that's required for people to enjoy a winter beer. Again, you don't want to have these heavy, thick mouthfeel kind of spiced beers, even though you want the essence of them. You know, even I was thinking through of trying to remember which brewery, but New Belgium just came out with a couple of their seasonal beers. And their newest one, Accumulation, is a white IPA. So you're getting a crispness. You're getting a feeling of a winter chill and a little bit of snow with a nice hot presence on top. I had it at the their restaurant in Denver at the airport. I think it's called The Hub. And it was brand new release. They don't have it on the market yet, just on tap. And it spoke to the feeling of the season. Again, a crisp, refreshing chill, a little bit of hot presence, and the hop presence, I think, is understated, and breweries should be focusing more on it for winter beers because it does give people's perception a boost. You know, when you see all these commercials using one of the big three, you know, Budweiser, every year during the holidays, they use their Clydesdales. They've got a sled with people all bundled in scarves and knitted hats going through snowy fields. Most people, whether they live in a snowy, like a Midwestern or East Coast city, or even out in a warmer climate like the Southwest and here on the coast, Christmas and the winter time for them, at least in their mind's eye, is that type of scenario.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I'm starting to formulate some beer pairing suggestions, and this isn't one of the beers that I would go towards. Desserts. The hop on it, if it was maybe a vanilla or a custard base, maybe that would help out. But whereas Old Fezziwig, the holiday porters, there's a handful of other ones that go really well with pumpkin pie spices. This one, it has its own spicing. We were talking about earlier about this kind of bark complexity, you know, this flavor, herbal complexity, sure, that isn't going to play so well with these sweeter.
It doesn't have
like
that
a traditional sweet
burnt sugar malty, you know, base layer. I want to go a traditional kind of holiday main dish, but keeping some of that game and spice, and do a nice rack of lamb with some mint sauce or a mint jelly on the side. So you're getting the vibrancy of the and sweetness, for that matter, of the mint jelly and a little bit of herbaceousness, but you're getting that rich, spicy gaminess of the lamb that should soak up every nuance of this beer.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and there's...
So it's got to be medium rare, though.
And definitely. And there is a nice hop cleanliness to this, and the alcohol presence, too, is going to be a really nice... palate cleansing. And
this would go awesome with a lot of soups. You know, Bree the other night just made a great chicken and bok choy soup. She took the leftover carcass from one of our fresh organic, organic and free range chickens.
You hit all the marks on that.
Yeah.
Fresh, organic, and free range.
It is. I didn't want to sound too earthy and granola, but it is. We're getting them from the Ventura Meat Company, and we do a roasted chicken once a week. Real simple salt and pepper. A little bit of olive oil, maybe some fresh herbs on top. We roast it down, and then she takes all the bones and the carcass and slow simmers that in carrots, onions, like a basic mirepoix, and water for about 4 hours, real low temperature and slow, pulling out every bit of flavor and juice from those bones as possible. And then she threw in some fresh chicken bits, some bok choy, wilted them down, a little more salt and pepper, and it was delicious, but it would go with this beer because it's bringing out the pepper notes. It's bringing out the velvety olive oils that she used. It also has that rich chicken and juiciness of the protein.
You know, in the pre-show, we were talking about how chilly it is here. And now nobody else is going to have any compassion for how cold it is. But we've started doing soups here too. And actually, it just had a tortilla soup. But this one had, it was so easy because it was Trader Joe's boxed roasted pepper. It was cream base roasted pepper.
That's a great soup, actually.
And so you pour it in, and then we ended up putting in some fresh sauteed jalapenos. I'm cutting them up in the wind, chopping them up, and sauteed them, and then threw them in as well. You know, and you go back to some of the traditional or stereotypical food pairings with a highly hopped beer is you throw some spice in, it gets an its own kind of it accentuates the spicing just a little bit momentarily, but then it's this really creamy soup, and this has the alcohol, the carbonation, and the hop flavors and to cleanse the palate, but that barky flavor or the herbal notes that we were talking about also in the roasted pepper chunks that were there too. And so, and just that little tiny, just that little itty bitty bitterness that comes from biting into a pepper too, which is real similar to a hop bitterness.
And you're in the flavor family that I'm heading down as well. Not losing sight of some of the traditional pairings. This is a great pizza beer. Although it's a holiday beer, this is a great pizza beer because of all the things we've said, the bitter, the hoppy, the spice background. A quality supreme pizza with all the toppings is going to go great with this, or even a nice Italian dish with this awesome marinara that should have some good sweetness from the tomatoes, but also a great peppery or oregano kind of spice finish. And that leads me into a dish that I haven't had in years, and I keep talking about making it, but I haven't broken out the recipe. It's my grandmother's Swiss steak. Mm. And the Swiss steak she used to make would just crumble. It would fall apart with all the juiciness. And she cooked it with whole sliced up onions, like fresh white onions, stewed tomatoes, and browned the meat before she put it in. By the time it came out on your plate, the tomatoes and the onions had just cooked down into a beautiful sweet and earthy and savory concoction. You pour that over that flaky steak that's, you know, got a irony mineraliness to it and a little bit of underlying sweetness. And I think, again, a lot of the dishes we come into and we talk about are resonating. They're either complimenting or resonating. It's hard to get too many beers that contrast with a food. We've done it, but it most often I think they're resonating or complimenting ingredients in the food pairing. The savory and slightly tangy sweetness of the tomato base or a marinara base or something in that family, like the roasted pepper, should play off of some of the spice notes that we're getting in the beer.
That leads right to... My family's coming in tomorrow, actually, and they're staying through Thanksgiving and everything else. One of the things that we made just for easiness sake are tomato pies. And so you've got this, the crust, which is a handmade crust, you know, and homemade crust, I should say. And so you've got this sweet and savory crust. Then you've got the tomatoes that are baked in this creamy sauce, whatever it is. You can tell that I'm not the one that's making these.
But you're definitely the one eating it.
Oh, definitely. And then and then Parmesan cheese, so a nice little salt to kind of spike that.
We didn't get into the salty rum too much, but this begs for a little bit of salt.
Definitely. Well, the pizza, certainly. I mean, you've got a lot of savory and salty components with the meat or the cheeses that are along with it. But when you were talking about this tomato kind of soup, that was to a T what these tomato pies are. They're sweet. They've got that really nice kind of tart sort of tomato sweetness. You could put whatever it is, whatever else you wanted into it. But just between the crust and the tomato and the Parmesan, you don't have to go very much
further. You got sweet and buttery. You got savory tangy. You've got salty and
then unctuous. And then you have the pine flavor hops coming out of this.
And I have to just be forthcoming. This is my first time having Ale Smith as well. And I usually overlook Ale Smith because it's so available, I think. Maybe kind of looking back at reasons why I've passed it up on the shelf. Mm-hmm. It's because it's always available to me. I see it a lot. Mm-hmm. It's considered fairly local. Mm-hmm. I mean, coming out of San Diego, we're going to be doing another movie night on our rooftop. We're going to try to do a Christmas focus, a Christmas theme movie night with a projector screen and bundling coats. I think I'm going to pick a couple bottles of this up, you know, for me and my friends to enjoy on the rooftop. That little bit of cool breeze, right. A great movie, either the typical Christmas Vacation, it's a staple, or going more towards the romantic side with It's a Wonderful Life, because there's discussion lately about a potential sequel, and I want to broadcast the original so people know, hey, don't mess with this thing.
I know I've never seen the movie all the way through. And
did you fall asleep? Come on, Curtis, every time a bell rings, an angel gets its wings.
I'm more of a George C. Scott Scrooge.
Oh,
or,
that's a good one.
Or a Bill Murray Scrooged. So that is all so right. Either way, on either end,
both
of that,
on
that,
the list.
That's where I'm at. But
this has a little bit of nostalgia in the glass, which is why I went that direction. Right, great and black and white. It's a Wonderful Life.
Certainly, it seemed like there was something I was going to hit, but I'm done. I'm out. I'm done. But so the availability. And certainly a topic that I've thought about for a long, long time. Coming out of South Dakota, if a beer all of a sudden became, you know, I would search out these new beers wherever I went and bring them back. As soon as I saw them on the shelf in South Dakota, they were dead to me. I need to go find something else, you know. And so, and I think beer drinkers are like that. They want the newest and they want to try something that none of their friends.
But just like a childhood friend, there's nothing wrong with getting back to your roots. There is a foundation that you can build right there.
Definitely. So Ale Smith, any of them are fantastic beers. And then you also have, you know, one of my case in point was Duvel and then Orval too. So these were beers that I could only get in big marketplaces. And then all of a sudden they start showing up on the shelves and I don't drink them anymore until I go and I pull one off and I drink it and I think, this is fantastic. I need to have some of this on hand all the time. And Ale Smith is the same way, and especially their Speedway Stout. Just that's a world class.
We'll come back to that for another recap show.
Certainly. So I think we finished this one up.
Yeah. There's a lot left to drink though. So if you're at home, go out and get yourself a Ale Smith and pour some with us.
Yeah, come back in about a half hour and we'll be in our meltdown show and we'll be ready to party with you, I guess. So before we go though, you know, all the usual stuff. If you've liked this podcast or this webcast, go to iTunes and rate us. Go to YouTube, give us a thumbs up. There's my camera. Give us a thumbs up. You know, all the usual stuff. Share it with your friends. Tell them about us. You know, that would be awesome, and we would be forever grateful if you would share with anyone.
The more people that are following the podcast and joining in the conversation, the more feedback we'll get as well. Our pairings are not the only thing to go by. We want your feedback as an audience, and we want some new dishes to put with these beers.
Well, and that certainly leads to our hashtag beer suggestioneers, because that is what we are. We've had a lot of experience eating, and we've had a lot of experience drinking, and so it may be easier for us to put some of these things together. But that doesn't mean that what we say is the only thing. And if you've got an idea, in fact, we've both said it in earlier shows that some of the best pairing suggestions come from the quote unquote untrained palate or the I'm not a beer geek person.
Exactly. You know?
And so everyone has a valid, your senses are valid.
Be your own beer suggestioneer.
Be your own beer suggestioneer and let everyone know about it too. So, you know, hit all the local spots. If you've got a question or a comment, you can hit Jason at Jason at everybodyshungry.org, or you can hit me at Curtis at hopedsed.com. Not Curtis Taylor.
You got to go first name only, like Madonna.
I am Hopedsed. So, as always, we'd like to remind you and all of your friends to eat, drink, and be hoppy.
And we'll see you at the next pour.
Cheers.